This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, here they go again. What is the mainstream media freaking out? What's the liberal mob media freaking out about Donald Trump? What was that segment idea we had? What are they mad at Trump for now? Why are they mad at Trump now? Whatever stupid, absurd, laughable reason that they're mad at Trump. What's the latest reason they're mad at Trump? Wait till you hear this one if you haven't heard it yet. Plus, one thing you probably haven't seen or heard yet is a media montage, a supercut put together by Tom Elliott via X.com. But, yeah, what are they mad at Trump about now? This so-called bloodbath comment. See, because they would never invoke the term bloodbath when it comes to a sports analogy or when it comes to a political analogy. They would never do that, would they? Oh, don't worry. Tom Elliott has the receipts, and we've got a montage of how they have invoked the term bloodbath before. But first, Maria Bartiromo set the record straight Sunday morning with Sunday Morning Futures.
President Trump says Biden's climate change agenda is driving the auto business into bankruptcy, and the result will be a bloodbath of unemployed workers. The remarks triggering dishonest headlines about what he actually said from the mainstream media this morning.
The way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. China's building really big plants in Mexico, and Mexico's building. What about here? Well, we're building much smaller plants here.
All right, there you go. That was the opening salvo. You can still hear her introductory music in the background of that soundbite. She handled that fake news media narrative in less than 1 minute there on Sunday Morning Futures. That's why Maria Bartiromo hosts the Sunday Morning talk show. Let's see. Where were those bloodbath remarks made? Apparently it was at a rally. I'm assuming it was in the state of Ohio because Ohio Senator J.D. Vance was there. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem was there, and here is what Ohio Senator J.D. Vance had to say in particular about those remarks that the fake news media is now trying to attack Donald Trump over.
Look, we were all there. We all heard exactly what he said. He was saying that if you allow the Chinese to dominate the EV industry, which is what Biden's policies are promoting, you're going to destroy the auto industry in this country. It's going to be a bloodbath for the auto industry. He's 100% correct about that.
All right. He is 100% correct about that. Oh, by the way, you know the reason why the Stillwater mine is struggling financially right now? You can blame the EV push, the push for electric vehicles that Joe Biden and John Tester have been pushing. All right. The receipts on them using the bloodbath remarks right after this.
Securing America.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin heads to Germany today to host a meeting of the multi-nation Ukraine Defense Contact Group tomorrow. National Security Communications Advisor John Kirby described the Ukrainians' current situation while appearing on Fox News Sunday.
The Ukrainian commanders on the battlefield are literally making life and death decisions about whether they will fire back or won't, whether they'll move back, because they're running out of ammunition.
Some are now suggesting providing aid to Ukraine in the form of a loan. Texas Republican Congressman Mike McCaul also on Fox News Sunday.
It's not, you know, no interest, waivable, but it's symbolic. It is a loan program.
Democratic Senator Ben Cardin of Maryland commented on the subject on NBC's Meet the Press, saying the bottom line is Ukraine needs help.
If we can't do anything other than that, we might have to consider that. But this is in our national security interest.
Jim Muretsky, Fox News.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. Look for lots of sunshine across the area for today, with high temperatures sticking closer to the lower 60s for Bozeman, but approaching that 70-degree mark for Billings. Then as we head into the night tonight, under mostly clear skies, we'll have lows in the low to mid-30s. For Tuesday, still above average, highs in the lower 60s. And that's a look at your real weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
You know, I should not just modify that statement. I should actually further clarify that statement. They're not mad at Donald J. Trump. You know, for this whole segment idea of what are they mad at Donald Trump for now? They're not actually mad at him. They're a bunch of phonies. They're a bunch of actors. It's just they couldn't make it in Hollywood, so instead they go to Washington to put on their act there. That's what's going on here. They're not actually mad at Trump. They're a bunch of phonies who gin up a pretend controversy here. One of them is, of course, MSNBC host Joe Scarborough, who sold out several years ago to make big bucks and get a tiny little bit of notoriety or fame, attempted fame by becoming the MSNBC morning host. He actually deleted a social media post via X. He deleted a tweet that he had sent out regarding these bloodbath remarks. I'll tell you about that here in just a second. But first, Tom Elliott has the receipts, as expected. Tom Elliott and Grabian Media, he put out a supercut. You know, Trump's critics would never use a term like bloodbath. They would never use that remark. This goes on for about 2 minutes. I'm not going to play the whole thing. As fun as that would be, I'm not going to play the whole thing. But you'll get a taste of their remarks here.
But as Politico.com reports tonight on the, quote, bloodbath at the RNC,
headlines calling it a, quote, bloodbath.
Be a bloodbath. Not only is it going to be a bloodbath, but after they leave New Hampshire, it's a bloodbath on her home turf. That's really tough.
Trump has left a lot of corpses in his wake. I mean, we can count the bodies.
As part of the, quote, MAGA drive to take over Maricopa County. And the headline refers to it as an impending bloodbath.
Columnist Charles Blow has a new piece for the New York Times entitled A Biden Bloodbath.
2018 midterms, you can bet that they 100% are fearing a slaughter. In fact, the word bloodbath and massacre come up frequently.
The Republican Party will be destroyed. It's going to be a bloodbath.
There's going to be a bloodbath one way or the other.
Bloodbath for Bernie Sanders.
It's been a bloodbath there, shaping up to be a bloodbath.
Head off a bloodbath in next year's crucial midterm.
Off-year elections are often a bloodbath.
This week's bloodbath for Democrats,
a bloodbath at the ballot box.
All the pearl clutching. I'm telling you, this goes on. Should I just keep that in the background just to make the point here? Because it's still going on, and it's going to keep going for another minute here. And you know there's more where that came from. Great post there by Tom Elliott via X. TheDailyCaller.com has this. I think I shared it via X as well. So MSNBC host Joe Scarborough deleted a social media post about Trump's bloodbath remarks after receiving a reply from Elon Musk. Here's what Scarborough wrote in the now deleted post. Donald Trump's America, and he's proud of it. Promised another bloodbath if he loses again. Another bloodbath? Anyway, Elon Musk replied to Joe Scarborough, and I think I heard on Fox and Friends earlier this morning that Elon Musk's reply alone was seen by 50 million people. Let's just say Joe Scarborough's show on MSNBC, which is a national show, is not seen by nowhere near that many people at all. But Elon Musk replied with this: January 6th was not a bloodbath by any definition, and Trump was referring to job losses in the auto industry when he used that word. Your post is extremely misleading. And then Joe Scarborough deleted that tweet via X.com. The other thing that, of course, stands out here is once again, we're seeing another example of, okay, they get mad over the use of a figurative term. They get mad about a figurative term here. Don't we see a literal bloodbath taking place here in America? Over 100,000 people just in 1 year alone that were killed by the opioid epidemic. We've seen illegal aliens slaughtering innocent young women simply out for a morning jog. We've seen the Mexican drug cartels targeting Native American women in particular here in Montana and all across the West. We see an actual bloodbath going on in the streets of America. Actual violence, actual murders, actual, you know, targeting of Asian Americans, targeting of Jewish Americans. And yet they get more mad about Donald Trump using the figurative term bloodbath to talk about a bunch of jobs that will be lost in the auto industry. They're more mad about that than actual blood being spilled in the streets of America. Just wanted to make that point once again. By the way, speaking of bloodbath remarks here, you guys remember James Carville? It's a wall, Larry. You remember James Carville? Rush Limbaugh always had fun talking about James Carville, the Democrat strategist. So there's a headline at thedailywire.com here. James Carville, if Democrats lose in November, it's Israel's fault. He's going to blame it on Israel if Democrats lose in November. No wonder Chuck Schumer is on the floor of the Senate interfering openly in the Israeli elections. They seem to be less mad about the bloodbath that occurred on October 7th, the worst attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. No, they're more mad that Israel is going after the terrorists and that it's complicating the November elections for them because their base is so openly pro-Hamas. Anyway, he says if Democrats lose in November, it's Israel's fault. And he's warning of violence in the streets of Chicago when the Democrat National Convention takes place there. So basically, James, it's a war, Larry, Carville is worried that there will be a literal bloodbath in Chicago with their violent, radicalized base that did what in the name of BLM and George Floyd? Yeah, blood in the streets.
You can plan barbecues and weddings. You can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Wyoming Senator John Barrasso called him out, demanding answers as American hospitals are being overrun by illegal aliens. Why are American taxpayers brunting the bill and the impacts? That video, that story, go to MontanaTalks.com. Plus, Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy was on the southern border. He described the ground invasion of illegal aliens firsthand. Check out that video and much more. Go to MontanaTalks.com or get the app on your smartphone.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the Bureau of Land Management has announced a draft plan to strengthen greater sage-grouse conservation and management on America's public lands. BLM Director Tracy Stone Manning said that joint efforts to conserve the greater sage-grouse and its habitat have led to the largest collaborative conservation effort in their history. Now, the Resource Management Plan Amendment would amend 77 separate land use plans currently in place across 10 western states, and some of the alternatives in the draft EIS include new area of critical environmental concern designations totaling as many as 11.1 million acres. Upon its release, Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon said that our leadership on the matter has shown that state-led efforts are effective, as evidenced by Wyoming having more sage-grouse than any other state. And he said that any proposed BLM actions that do not align with the core areas established through our state-led process will be closely scrutinized. Now, the BLM will hold 13 public meetings to help answer questions and take further comments on the draft alternatives and analysis. The comment period will end on June 13th, with a final environmental impact statement expected later this fall. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Ranchers, Wednesday, March 27th is Peterson Grain and Kettle Company's 18th annual production sale at the Ranch north of Havre, Montana. Selling our 55 Angus bulls and 12 registered open yearling heifers. The goal is to produce functional, durable, fertile cattle that make the commercial cowman's life easier. Bulls that work from the Milk River to the Bear Paws and Sweetgrass Hills. Challenged by our environment, cattle refined by Mother Nature. Sale time is 1 o'clock, also carried live on Northern Livestock Video. For more information and videos, visit Peterson Grain and Kettle.com.
Thank you, Senators Tester, Grassley, and Rounds, for working across the aisle to support American ranchers and consumers by sponsoring the bipartisan Meatpacking Special Investigator Act. This would provide the special investigator with the powers of the Department of Justice to enforce the Packers Stockyard Act. This is a Farmers Union Fairness for Farmer priority for both ranchers and families.
Well, the Justice Department's Antitrust Division and Federal Trade Commission have submitted comments to the U.S. Copyright Office advocating for regulations that would facilitate the right to repair. The agency said they're in favor of consumers and businesses getting to repair their own equipment. Certainly a big, big win for proponents of right to repair, like the National Farmers Union. And finally this morning, it looks like the USDA is struggling to manage sugar supplies amid soaring domestic and international prices and a drought that continues to devastate Mexican growers, slashing the amount that they can export to U.S. food and candy manufacturers. Under the Farm Bill Sugar Program, the department is required to manage sugar imports and maintain domestic sugar prices, in part by waiting until April to decide whether additional imports are needed. However, with stocks tightening, the USDA announced earlier this month that it would increase the amount of raw sugar that can be imported under low tariffs. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, it looks like I need to try to track down some audio of Glenn Beck last night. Not necessarily for the show today, but more so just to go back and listen to the program. Actually, you know, my mom was telling me about this. She says, hey, did you hear Glenn Beck talking about Alaska? And then I just got it. Looks like we just got a message on our Montana Talks app from Kelly in Glasgow saying, wow, Glenn Beck on Alaska last night. I shared a tweet via X, God, probably 2 weeks ago. I can't remember. But it was basically making the point that Alaska is facing more sanctions than Iran. And it was a lengthy list. I'll have to see if I can pull up the old tweet that I shared on that. But very quickly here, just a couple of minutes ago, I pulled up a story from glennbeck.com, how Biden is harming Alaska more than Iran. Now, I'm assuming he must have been going off of kind of the similar information that I saw via X as well here. But anyway, Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy has accused the Biden administration of waging of sanctioning his state more than Iran. Governor Dunleavy laid out how Joe Biden has taken at least 55 actions to limit Alaskans' oil production, mining, logging, and recreational abilities. And he talked about how this is harming the Alaskan people and businesses and the cruel irony that Biden's policies have caused. Our viability as a state is in question. And so anyway, I'm looking at even the full transcript here at glennbeck.com. I'll give that a little read here during one of the breaks ahead, if I can for you here. But, it's exactly par for the course with what we're seeing out of Joe Biden and John Tester. Remember, what was the news that we heard just a few days ago? Joe Biden put sanctions in place against Jewish citizens in Israel. You had the worst terrorist attack on Jewish civilians since the Holocaust. And And now we have Iranian-backed proxies like the Houthis firing missiles at your sons and daughters in U.S. Navy vessels in the Middle East. And does Joe Biden put sanctions back in place against Iran? No, he allows them to continue to access billions and billions of dollars to continue firing missiles at your sons and daughters. But he put sanctions in place against people in Israel who are defending themselves and going after the terrorists that attacked them, that crossed their southern border and attacked innocent people, slaughtering women, babies, entire families gunned down. So here you go. He'll put sanctions in place against Israel, but not against the Iran. He'll put sanctions in place against Alaska, against American citizens, American states, but he won't put sanctions in place against Iranian oil. Sanctions in place against Alaskan oil, no sanctions against Iranian oil.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The U.S. Supreme Court set to hear arguments later this morning on if the Biden administration went too far by pressuring social media sites to take down content. Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt filed the original lawsuit when he was the state's AG.
Some of the highest ranking government officials in our country colluding and coercing with some of the biggest social media companies in the world to suppress millions of posts, posts related to the Hunter Biden laptop story, the origins of COVID, the lab leak.
A Republican earlier on Fox and Friends. It's a busy week for President Biden visiting Texas, Arizona, and Nevada. Spring rushes in tomorrow night, but not before one final blast on the last day of winter.
16 in Fargo, 26 in Chicago. Cold enough for snow, by the way, across portions of the Midwest and the Northeast.
Fox senior meteorologist Janice Dean. America's listening to Fox News.
Yeah, Kelly in Glasgow, did that summarize what Glenn Beck covered last night from the audio that you heard last night? Was there something else that stood out to you? If so, send us another message on the Montana Talks app because I'm interested in what stood out to you. I want to go back and listen to that audio. You know, another thing that people have been sending me, several people message me, email me over the weekend, and then actually back on Friday. In fact, I had to go to the grocery store. So what I did is I put in one of my little earbud things, synced in with the Bluetooth, and I listened to the podcast. It was a Victor Davis Hanson podcast interview with Navy SEAL veteran and Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy. I had my mom's cousin's husband in Idaho was like, hey, have you guys met this Tim Sheehy guy? Holy cow, this guy's incredible. Just heard him on the VDH podcast. I was like, oh, yeah, we've heard of this Tim Sheehy guy. Yeah, no, he's great. And I had other people. Did you listen to this VDH interview? Because the legendary Victor Davis Hanson, of course, incredible military historian. Anyway, just one of the most, one of the greatest, thought leaders of our time, frankly, at VDH. But yeah, so I listened to a good chunk of that. Very interesting, good conversation. So anyway, there's another piece of audio to listen to if you're wondering. But back to this whole, Iran, Alaska, Iran, Israel. We were talking about James Carville. James Carville over the weekend did an interview on MSNBC with Jen Psaki, former Biden press secretary Jen Psaki, and he said that if Democrats lose in November, it's Israel's fault. The DailyWire.com has this story. He basically said that, look, this Gaza stuff, this is not just a problem with some snot-nosed Ivy League people. That's a direct quote. He says this is a problem for Democrats, I should add, all across the country. He says, I hope the president and Blinken can get this thing calmed down, because if it doesn't get calmed down before the Democrat convention, it's going to be a very ugly time in Chicago. I promise you that. In other words, is he saying that there could be another Democrat bloodbath in Chicago? Remember when things got pretty violent in Chicago in a previous Democrat convention back in the 60s? Anyway, he then added this.
They're going to have to tell Bibi Netanyahu, hey, dude, we're not going to lose our election because you're scared to go to jail. You got to think of something else, because this the negligence of this man was breathtaking. And why we're over there begging him, we ought to be putting pressure on him every way that you can to de-escalate this thing and quickly.
Wow. You know how you de-escalate this thing and quickly, James Carville? It's a wah, after all. You kill the terrorists. that launched the worst attack on Jewish civilians since October 7th. And then we can all move on, can't we, James? That's how you stop this thing. But no, they want to stop Israel. They want to sanction Israel. They want to put a maximum pressure campaign on Bibi Netanyahu, another one of the greatest thought leaders of our time. But they'll sanction Israel. They'll sanction Alaska. They'll sanction the American people. Let the floodgates wide open on our southern border and theirs.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. I just went and found that tweet that I shared. Gal, I think I shared that back on March 6th. I thought it was even more recent than that. I had to keep scrolling down, scrolling. I found what I shared via X back on March 6th, and yeah, it was the Alaska governor. And it was a full graphic that I think was shared by Alaska Senator Dan Sullivan, a full graphic showing the 55 executive actions by Joe Biden targeting the people of Alaska, the people of the great state of Alaska, targeting American energy production, targeting American timber production, targeting, you know, so-called public land access. I always say so-called public land because and some of the enviro wackos are like, why do you call it so-called public? It is public. Well, yeah, if it's public, then why don't you act like it's public? Because these environmental wackos are constantly trying to lock us out of our so-called public land. So if it's public, let it be public, right? But they're always trying to lock us out. They want to use it for them and their wealthy foreign elites, but they don't want we, the American people, using it. So if it's public, let's act like it. Anyway, let's get back to Donald J. Trump did a sit-down interview with Howie Kurtz, who has the Media Buzz program for Fox News on Sunday morning, right before Maria Bartiromo, if I'm not mistaken here. But anyway, that's a fun program to watch as well, or listen to after the fact. But anyway, he did a sit down interview with President Donald J. Trump. We grabbed a couple of different sound bites for you, a couple of different portions of that back and forth. But since we've been talking about Joe Biden sanctioning the people of Alaska, Joe Biden sanctioning the people of Israel, why don't you go sanction the terrorists in charge of Iran right now? Anyway, listen to this back and forth. President Trump reacting to Chuck Schumer, the Senate Democrat leader, interfering in the Israeli elections on the floor of the United States Senate.
Chuck Schumer really went after Bibi Netanyahu on the Senate floor, saying that Israel should hold new elections and making perfectly clear he thinks that the prime minister should be replaced, though he doesn't use those exact words. Does that sound to you like the U.S. telling its sovereign ally how to run its government?
Well, 100%. There's no question about it. And they don't know where to go. They're very bad for Israel. The Democrats are very bad for Israel. Israel sticks with them. I guess Israel's loyal, maybe to a fault, because they stick with these guys. Biden is so bad for Israel. They should have never been attacked. If Biden were good to Israel, they wouldn't have been attacked.
But President Biden has been a strong supporter of Israel because of the terrorist attacks.
If he were a supporter of Israel, the Iran nuclear deal would have never been signed and Israel would have never been attacked, Harry.
Well, Schumer is, of course, the top Jewish Democrat in Washington. Right. And he says that Netanyahu is too willing to tolerate the civilian toll in Gaza,
yeah,
and that he's more concerned with his own political survival, and that could make Israel a pariah. Your reaction?
Well, they lost a lot of people on October 7th, too. People have to remember that.
Oh, people should never
forget. They've totally, I think maybe he's forgotten it. He doesn't forget it. He looks at where do I get more votes, and I guess he's seeing, the Palestinians, and he's seeing the marches, and they are big. And he says, I want to go that way instead of Israel. I don't know how Israel stays with these people. I just don't know. But he obviously said, I see a lot of people protesting out there, and they happen to be Palestinians or wherever from the Middle East. And he was probably shocked to see it. And all of a sudden, he dumped Israel. That's what he's doing. He dumped Israel.
Well, he's not walking away. But what would be in light of...
But wouldn't you say he is walking away? I mean, he just said, essentially, that Bibi Netanyahu should take a walk.
Right. And in light of those comments by Senator Schumer, what would be your message if you were to talk to Bibi Netanyahu?
Well, I think you have to finish it up and do it quickly and get back to the world of peace. We need peace in the world.
Yeah, we started to see that under President Trump, didn't we? We started to see historic peace agreements in the works between Israel and Arab nation after Arab nation after Arab nation. But Joe Biden, see, he needed to come into office. He needed to come into power. He needed to leverage Black Lives Matter riots. He needed to leverage turning Saudi Arabia into a pariah. He needed to leverage COVID-19 to continue locking down America, to continue causing the chaos so that they could capitalize on the chaos. So they had to undermine these historic peace agreements because they wanted to undermine Trump. And in the process, they undermined America and really the entire world. And that's the point that President Trump is making there as well. All right, speaking of Bibi Netanyahu, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, as you heard, condemned Israeli leaders and called for new leadership amid the country's war in Gaza. Why didn't you take to the floor and condemn the terrorists and support our friends, support a fellow democracy? No, instead he's undermining a fellow democracy. And we got to use their shrieking democracy because they love to shriek the term democracy as they undermine democracies. But Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he was on Fox and Friends discussing Schumer's comments and the Israeli war effort. Let me see if I got the right soundbite queued up for you first here this morning. All right, yeah, here's the first one with him responding to Schumer. And then I want to get the latest on the war effort as well.
I think Schumer's statements are wholly inappropriate. I think we're not a banana republic. The people of Israel will choose when they'll have elections, who to elect, and it's not something that will be foisted upon us.
Now, meanwhile, the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, planning a military invasion into the Gaza city of Rafah, despite the Biden administration's efforts to prevent such an action. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu had this to say about the planned invasion of Rafah. And, man, this soundbite's less than 10 seconds long, but I think he sums it up well.
When people tell us don't go into Rafah, that's like telling the Allies, listen, don't go into Berlin, leave a quarter of the Nazi army intact. You know, that's ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous. And he also talked about how, look, did Israel come into America in the days and months after the 9/11 terrorist attacks and lecture you about not taking the fight to Al-Qaeda? When you were winning the fight against Al-Qaeda in those early months? No, we didn't come here and lecture you about that, but here you lecture us. Sickening to see what has taken place in Washington right now. All right, 406-294-0970, the number for you. First caller on the phone lines this morning, we've got Mark in Butte. Mark, great to hear from you. How was the Butte Parade?
Good morning, Aaron. You know, it was a spectacular turnout with great weather. It was really nice to see kind of Butte liven up again with the parade that we haven't seen quite like that in several years. I just wanted to call and mention a funny thing I noticed is we had our great Congressman Ryan Zinke and our next Senator Tim Sheehy marching in the parade and shaking hands with all the people. And yet John Tester's group of woke liberal mob chanting and screaming, making a mockery of themselves, really. But John was nowhere to be seen. Can you believe that?
Interesting. He posted something the day before St. Paddy's Day. It looked like some closed-door meeting via Twitter or X. He had a big old fancy Starbucks cup in his missing-fingered hand. I guess he couldn't find any local Butte coffee to purchase while he was there, apparently.
Absolutely. And his woke liberal mob that was out there chanting kind of ridiculous chants. I found it interesting. You know, Ryan, who I was personally able to shake his hand, was walking the route himself and shaking hands and handing out American flags. Well, John's liberal mob had foam hands with the missing fingers, which I thought that was...
And just my goodness.
Chanting and ranting off, and I thought, nowhere to be seen. But I guess understandably so. He would have had to walk 5 or 6 blocks to be able to do that.
Was Tranny L, was she there?
Yes, she was. Yes, I seen her. And the same kind of mob, kind of walking with signs. But
yeah.
There, Well, being Butte, obviously there was several.
I tell you,
Democrat nominees.
I saw some photographs there, and yeah, it looked like a great parade. I was there just a couple years ago, and had a great time at the parade. But I saw Tim Sheehy. Yeah, he's the Republican Senate candidate, Navy SEAL veteran. He had his whole family, all of his little kids were out there. Just a beautiful family, and his little kids are just so fun to watch. But yeah, think about it. Here he is with a beautiful family, all American family, walking down in the parade, and yet here's these nasty liberal Democrats chanting nasty things, probably with the kids present. And it's like, you really think that's going to help you in Butte, America? You know, pro-family, pro-America, pro-military type of area. No wonder the Democrats did so poorly in Butte. The last congressional election, Zinke did really well in the Butte area. And I think, slowly but surely, we're going to start turning more folks to the conservative cause in Butte, because the Democrat Party has abandoned Butte and working men and women and unions and more.
Exactly. You know, and I hope to see it keep turning around. But, you know, as well as I do, Butte's been a stronghold for Democrats for years with the union labor backing them. So, but it was definitely great to see our good Republican leaders out there shaking hands. And
all right. Thanks for the call, Mark. Great to hear from you.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Joe, am I allowed to ask a question? I might get in trouble. That's all Joe ever says when he was trying to take questions in Saginaw, Michigan. I'll take questions. He said, can I take a couple of questions? Up comes a woman in a Biden-Harris jacket. We're going to take a few questions. Then the staff immediately puts their arms around Joe and walk him away. Why? Because his cognitive decline, that surge of energy seems to have disappeared. Joe, you're the president, you idiot. Take as many questions as you want, but they won't let you, Joe, will they? Because they know that you're going to screw it up. They know you're a weak, frail, cognitive mess. America, wake up. You want this guy as your president?
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Imagine a society with a digital dollar and no cash. No tooth fairy or piggy banks. No more selling extra items for cash. A digital dollar means your life could depend on the internet, electricity, and people you don't know. Plus, it means every penny you have could all be tracked. So goodbye to privacy. That's why thousands of Americans have decided to opt out of the government's plans by talking to Goldco and putting a portion of their savings into physical gold and silver, including Sean Hannity. Sean has personally bought metals from the top-rated company, Goldco, who has an excellent reputation. They've placed over $2 billion in gold and silver, and right now they're offering up to $10,000 in bonus silver while supplies last. So call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD to learn how you could get started today. Tell them Hannity sent you and see if you qualify for up to $10,000 in bonus silver. Call Goldco at 855-815-GOLD. That's 855-815-GOLD.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
The western portion of Montana is covered in trees, as we all know, and some other parts of the state as well. And the management of those forests is concerned to all of us who hunt, fish, hike, or simply live close to them. And since much of our state's forest land is publicly owned, mostly by the federal government, that task falls to government agencies for better or worse. Here's something about forest management you may not have thought about. Without a healthy, vibrant forest product industry with facilities near forest land, that management task becomes much more expensive. Think about it. The tree thinning, trimming, and corridor widening activities involved with managing forests to improve health and reduce wildfire risk work best when those involved can make money doing them. That, in turn, needs processing facilities, mills, chippers, and residue processors to be within economic transportation distance from forests. When that's not the case and forest management requires money, it largely doesn't happen. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Are you an employee or an independent contractor known as a gig worker? Here's what you need to know when filing. I'm Jackie DeAngelis with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
The Will Kane Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Kane as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Employees receive a W-2 at tax time. Gig workers or independent contractors receive a 1099, and they're responsible for their own taxes. CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says the IRS looks at how you're working. Do you have a schedule, a workplace?
If the worker is being managed and they have a manager, they're behaving kind of like an employee and not like they're independent.
If you're an independent contractor, you're not eligible for minimum wage, workers' comp, or unemployment benefits, though your 1099 status will allow business deductions. Jackie DeAngelis, Fox News.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, great to hear from Mark in Butte about the Butte St. Patrick's Day Parade. If you've never been to Butte for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, it's really something you got to add to your bucket list. Always incredible, just, you know, walking up and down uptown Butte and just all the festivities, all the folks you'll end up running into from all across Montana. It's just a great time. But yeah, if you want to see some of the photographs that I was mentioning, I shared some. If you go to x.com/Aaron Flint, you can see some of the photographs from the St. Patrick's Day Parade, including Tim Sheehy and his incredible patriotic family. You know, not only did he serve as a Navy SEAL, his wife, a U.S. Marine, they both went to the Naval Academy. Anyway, great great photographs, and glad to see that they're not afraid to go into the heart of what is typically considered Democrat voter country. But, boy, you know, you look at, like, liberals like John Tester, they're afraid to come on here and take your phone calls, aren't they? Just had to point that one out as well for you. All right, last week, yeah, man, what a tournament in Boise, Idaho, where you had the Montana Grizzlies and the Montana State Bobcats in basketball. The men face off in the Big Sky Conference Championship for the first time since 1986, and the MSU Bobcats pulled off an upset victory over the higher-seeded Grizz in that tournament. So they will now head into the NCAA's March Madness tournament. And I think the brackets just came out. I think Grambling State is who Montana State will face off in the opening round of the March Madness tournament. So let's give you a quick little scene setter. Who are the top seeds? I know some of you are going to be filling out your brackets. You're going to have an office pool going or whatever. So what are some of the top seeds right now for the NCAA tournament?
Defending national champion Connecticut is the overall number one seed. The Huskies open play in the East Region Friday against Stetson. Despite a 28-point loss to Iowa State in the Big 12 tournament, Houston became a one seed in the South Region. The Cougars are a top seed for the first time in 41 years. Purdue is number one in the Midwest Region. The Boilermakers come off an overtime loss to Wisconsin in the Big 10 tourney. After dropping the ACC championship game to NC State, North Carolina picked up the top seed in the West. The Big 12 and the SEC each placed eight teams in the field. Bob Mortali, Fox News.
All right, there you go. And like I said, the Montana State Bobcats facing off against Grambling State in the first round. All right, let's see. Got some fresh content for you on our Montana Talks website right now, including this headline. We are making it to Schmeckfest in Luster, Montana. That's right. We will be at Schmeckfest coming up this Friday night in Luster, Montana. Some of you are wondering, what is Schmeckfest? Well, basically, think of it like a gigantic German food smorgasbord, 59th annual German Festival of Tasting. Now, you know, there's going to be a lot of baked products there. There's going to be a lot of pastries there, as Attorney General Austin Knutson and his lovely wife, Christy, told us when they were in studio with us last week. By the way, I did see they made it down to Proof Donuts. I told them not to go. I said, don't go to Proof Donuts. I said, man, you go down to Proof Donuts. I'm telling you, you're going to want to have every donut they have. They went to Proof Donuts. I told them not to. They went. And they were like, holy cow, that was incredible. Here's the deal, though. If you're getting the donuts, if you're going to get the pastries and things like that, but you're trying to maintain your weight, you're trying to maintain your lifestyle, well, here's a good pro tip for you that we learned from our friends at Billings last night. If you're going to have a little bit of sugar, you know, like after your Easter dinner, if you're going to have some, you know, some cake or, you know, some dessert, pair it with protein. don't eat your dinner, and then 4 hours later say, oh, okay, now it's time to have some cake, and now it's time to have dessert, and have the dessert by itself, because then your body gets this sugar rush, and it stores fat. Whereas if you pair it with protein, it doesn't get the big, massive rush that your body would get it, and so it doesn't kick into fat storage mode. So anyway, just one of the tips I got from our friends at Billings Last Diet. If you need to lose weight, that's the program to go through. BillingsLastDiet.com or call 294-6751.
Will you owe income tax on the sale of your home? I'm Ginny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
The Will Kane Show is now dropping 5 episodes a week. Join Fox and Friends weekend host Will Kane as he tackles the latest headlines from his unique perspective, along with thought-provoking interviews with leading figures and live calls from viewers and listeners. Listen wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Whether you will owe tax when you sell your home depends on how much the home's value has appreciated and if it's your primary residence. CPA Stephen Zellin of Zellin & Associates says there are IRS rules.
If you lived in it 2 out of the last 5 years, you can exclude up to $250,000 if you're single or $500,000 if you're married filing jointly.
Zellin says if you sell your house early in the year, you may need to make estimated tax payments on the gain, or you may owe a penalty. Ginny Cosola, Fox News.